And now may I present one of the most charming and talented members of Hollywood's younger generation, soon to be seen in The Wizard of Oz, MGM singing sensation Miss Judy Garland.
It was like a breath of spring, I heard a robin sing, about a nest set apart. All nature seemed to be in perfect harmony. Sing when the streams are my heart.
Hey Judy fans, this is Mindy. Thanks for listening to another episode of Old Time Radio. Next up in our series featuring Judy Garland is her appearance on a March of Dimes program that aired January 30th, 1945, and also featured Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra. So this is a trio we've heard many times before, and I love the dynamic between the three. I think it's very much an entertaining program when the three of them are together and Bing and Frank are doing their kind of naturally lighthearted insult fests, and you hear Judy giggling when she's not moderating between the two of them. So no disappointments here. This is a fun program. And just as a refresher course for myself, I looked up the March of Dimes, founded by President Franklin D. Roosevelt on January 3rd, 1938, to combat polio, which she, of course, suffered from, and that had also become pretty much an epidemic in America's children at the time. And the name March of Dimes, I did not know this, was a play on the contemporary radio and newsreel series The March of Time. It was coined by Eddie Cantor, and he inspired a nationwide fundraising campaign in the week preceding President Roosevelt's birthday on January 30th, 1938. The whole campaign was, you send in 10 cents and you get a lapel pin. This was hugely successful and continued to be so. Hollywood put a lot of star power and talent and many years into helping President Roosevelt with this mission. And it continued on, and America stepped up, gave the dimes. You know, by the late 50s, polio was eradicated. An amazing, amazing social and medical achievement. But all the way back in 1938, Judy Garland was, she was there. She was recruited with Mickey Rooney, who else? And so I found actually one of the very first public service announcements that not only they did, but I think one of the very first for the March of Dimes. They obviously went with the biggest stars they could find and somebody who would appeal to the youth and get the youth excited and involved. So I'm going to play that right now. This is what public service announcement sounded like in 1938.
Can we have two cones, please? And I like a diamond change, too.
Are you saving them, Mickey?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give mine to President Roosevelt.
President? Why, Mickey?
Yes, you see, Judy, I've got my envelope made out right here. It's all ready to go. See for yourself.
Oh, I know. That's a March of Dimes, the Infantile Paralysis Fund.
That's right. And, Judy, when I spend a dime on myself or some little luxury like this, I always think about those unfortunate kids and how far just a dime will go toward helping.
Gee, Mickey, we don't know how lucky we are and how much we have to be thankful for with our health and our happiness.
Judy, and that's why we should do all that we can to help all of those who can't help themselves.
I know. Can I put a dime in your envelope?
Oh, you know that you can. And that's what every good American should do. Join the March of Dimes. Send yours to President Franklin Roosevelt in the White House.
Washington, D.C.
So, classic Judy and Mickey, right? It's cute, it's sweet, it's so gosh darn innocent and probably very effective in bringing a huge spotlight to this fledgling charitable group, the March of Dimes. So I heard not too recently somebody say the hallmark of a great charitable organization is they exhaustively strive to put themselves out of business because they fix the problem they're there to solve. And like I said, by the late 50s, the March of Dimes essentially did this. They had to actually reposition themselves and draft up a new mission. And of course, today they work doggedly to improve the health of mothers and babies by preventing birth defects, premature birth, and infant mortality. So put themselves out of their first job, but went ahead and created a second one and continue to do amazing work. So this is a fun program about a horrible disease, but it has a happy ending, as we'll find out years after this broadcast. So from January 30th, 1945, this is Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra, and Judy Garland in a program featuring The March of Dimes.
This is Bing Crosby in Hollywood, friend. Miss Judy Garland is one of our little group, C'est Soir. The other is a likely lad who does a fair job on a chanson d'amour. Seriously, I think you'll hear more from this boy as time goes by, so pencil him in when you're making up your listen list. Frank Sinatra. Francois? Francois is all geared and ready to lay a ballad on you at this point. Drop it right in there, neighbor.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator? Why Senator?
Well, I hate to think of you as representative.
This boy may never get to sing here tonight.
Well, I can figure that out. You see, I figured it when I heard the orchestra's being conducted by your man.
Look, we intend to be fair at all costs. We shall be fair at all costs, Wild Wig. I shall ask John Scott Trotter to yield the podium to your Mr. Axel Stordahl.
Get in there, Axe, and pitch.
Put down your axe. What does he do, lead with an axe this far? Look, Frank, what is your reason for wanting Stordahl instead of Trotter?
Well, I kind of like blondes. Take it, Axel.
He's got it. You're gone.
When you're alone, who cares for starlit skies? When you're alone, the magic moonlight dies at break of dark, there is no sunrise. When your lover has gone, what lonely hours the evening shadows bring, what lonely hours with memories lingering like faded flowers. Life can't mean anything when your lover has gone. Life can't mean anything when your lover has gone. Ah,
that is certainly a lovely orchestration, wasn't it, hmm? No, kidding on the square, that was very nice, Willowy.
Much obliged, Billowy.
Billowy. I'm happy to relate, Frank, that I caught your latest picture last night, Callow.
Which one, Tallow?
The Return of the Thin Man. Loves it?
Tell me, what's your next? Scenic Mount Baldy?
We're doing that. Teller, of course. Teller, on the widescreen, grandeur film.
Of course.
Defend yourself, young man, if you make any more snide remarks like that.
Don't you know that to strike you would be against my Boy Scout oath?
For you to strike anybody would line you up for the 1945 Academy Award in bad judgment.
You think so?
Yeah.
I used to be a pretty fair little boxer, hey.
Delusions of grandeur, hey.
If things keep on looking like they are now, I may start getting in shape again with a little shadow boxing.
Think you could make the weight?
Kidding on the square, Bing. A pretty good trainer once told me that I'd be a pretty fair boxer, except for one little thing.
Your physique.
You guessed it, but he said even that could have been. Could have been.
Could have been, huh?
Worse.
Ah! Reads lines like the Golden Gate Quartet thing.
Kidding aside, he told me that even that could have been mighty worse.
How?
I might have had your figure.
Glad you figured. You may not believe this, Frank, but I have broken a few records.
I know. Mine.
There is a sneak punch.
Well, you're older than I am.
Who isn't? Gee.
Listen, Dad.
Dad?
Listen, Dad, I got a problem with girls.
Girls?
Yeah, young women.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether to treat them gentle or treat them rough.
Let them treat. Use the Bob Hope method. Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
Thanks a lot, Governor. You see, I guess that shows how really friendly we are, huh, Bing?
Sure.
How much harmony there is between us.
Certainly. I'm sure that at this point, folks must be convinced that you and I, Frank, that we could make beautiful music together.
You really think people think that, Bing?
No, but we can try. Go ahead, take it, Slender. Sender? Bender?
I wonder what's become of Crosby, the Sinatra of 19-2.
Life was full of joy, then came Frankie Boy. This should happen to me.
That Crosby's worried now, and I know why. Although I know he still is getting by.
I got by until they heard from you, don't fence me in.
Though folks may like to hear me sing, there's just one Bing. Long live the king.
I don't believe it, but say it again.
I'll say it again, again and again.
How can that voice come out of nowhere?
I wonder too.
Hey there, boy, you go too far, singing my way.
'Cause it's my wagon to a star, singing your way. Kidding on the square, we're a chummy pair. Sunday, Monday, and
how come
always.
I get behind Paul? Boys.
Boys?
Well, I'm half right.
But he's up. I never thought I'd hear such talk from my friend Judy Garland. But I'm glad to welcome you to the March of Dimes, Judy.
Well, it's an honor to be here, Bing.
Look, Judy, have you ever thought that you and I might make a team?
Great. Ponch and Judy.
Oh. Hope has got to this boy. You're just jealous because... Girls are attracted to me due to the romantic roles that I play in pictures.
Romantic roles?
Yes.
With those ears?
Oh! In the pictures, I always win the girl.
Winged victory!
I hate to break up this love fest, but could I get you two men, you two gentlemen, to break down and tell the world something it's very anxious to hear?
Well, get Frank to break down first. It's easier for him.
Tell me, Judy, what would you like to know?
Well, I'd like to know just what each of you strives for in your singing that sets you apart.
Well, Jude, if you'd really, you're really on the level with that question, and if that's what you want to know, you see, I try to generate a romantic appeal.
Mm-hmm. And you, Bing?
Well, for my part, Judy, I try to generate warm, quality, human stuff.
Uh-huh. You see the difference, Judy?
Oh, yes, sure. Different generations.
I just can't stand all this flattery. It's too much for me. So let's stash it for a bit of Judy and a still unreleased number from her forthcoming picture, Ziegfeld Follies. This is called, with simple directness, Love. And John Scott Trotter has gone a real... Judy, magnifique. May we now discuss St. Louis around the fin de siècle.
Around the what?
The turn of the century.
Oh, yes, you must tell me all about it.
Well, child, the invention of the cinema had yet to revive an aging juvenile named Bob Hope. The magic lantern was coming into vogue. One of the more popular forms of entertainment on those days on every variety bill was the slide song.
The slide song?
Yes, a baritone warbled the lyric,
while gaily colored slides illustrating his words were flashed upon a screen. Would you join me in a demonstration?
Would? But who can we get to sing?
I have standing by a very lusty baritone, Franklin Sinatra. While Stu and I act out the slides, he will sing. Shall we proceed?
Leave us do.
This rendition may bring back Bob Crosby, but let's go.
You have loved lots of girls in the sweet long ago, and each girl has meant heaven to you.
Confess, Mr. Harry, do you think matches are made in heaven?
I am positive, Miss Judy, that matches are made in heaven.
Why?
They're not needed in the other place.
You have showed your affection to each girl in turn, and have sworn to them all you'd be true.
Once upon a time, Miss Judy, I swore to a girl that if she'd become my fiancée, I'd buy her anything she asked for.
Oh, and why did you break your promise?
Because my promise was breaking me.
You have kissed neath the moon while the world was in tune. Then you left her to hunt a new game.
Do you think, Mr. Harry, that any attractive young girl can trap her man and hold him?
Definitely, if she keeps her trap shut.
Sing, Mar.
Does it ever occur to you later, my boy, that she's probably doing the same?
How true, how true. A man can't be too careful about trusting women. Why, Miss Judy, I don't dare trust you too far.
And I don't dare trust you too near.
Hello.
I wonder who's kissing her now. I wonder who's teaching her how.
Tell me frankly, Miss Judy, have you ever been wonderfully, beautifully kissed?
Well, this afternoon, I kissed a boy by that new invention, the telephone.
Did you find a kiss by telephone any fun?
Oh, yes. Until they made us get out of the booth.
I wonder who's looking into her eyes, breathing sighs, telling lies.
Darling, don't run off.
No.
Does he frighten you? Darling, you must believe me when I tell you that I dream of being a poet.
Well, if you were truly a poet, Mr. Harry, you would hold my hand in yours like this.
Yes.
And if you were a poet, you would put your arms around me like this.
Yes.
And hold me in your arms like this.
Yes.
And if you were a poet, you would draw me to you like this. Look deep into my eyes and give me that long, soulful kiss I await. Oh.
Oh, if I only was a poet.
I wonder who's buying her wine for lips that I used to call mine.
Shall I sit here alone and tear my heart out thinking of her, or shall I throw myself on the town? Two root beer floats have so far failed to make me forget. I might hire me to a penny arcade and feast mine eyes on the daring damsels in the 5-cent machines. But no, were I to do that and she got wind of it, she'd forever hate me, and I, in truth, would hate myself. Thank you.
I wonder if she ever tells him of me. I wonder who's kissing her now.
One of the greatest heritages of American youth is the freedom to sing and to dance. Yet today there are thousands upon thousands of American victims of infantile paralysis who cannot dance, and they've got very little to sing about. Only once before in medical history has polio claimed so many victims as it claimed this year. The funds for fighting it are now running low, and that is why the National Foundation for Infant Foot Paralysis calls on you not only for your dimes, but for contributions commensurate with your income. Money is needed, money to protect your children and perhaps yourself, for nobody's safe from infant foot paralysis, no one. You must get in there and help make sure that whenever and wherever polio strikes, doctors, nurses, and hospital facilities will be ready. Make your contributions the important kind. Join the March of Dimes and stay in step with humanity, that humanity and understanding which dwells in the desire to restore health and faith in suffering youngsters.
Don't delay, ladies and gentlemen. Send your generous contributions tonight to President Roosevelt at the White House.
And now for the thousands of kids fighting the long, hard way back to health, here's Bing and that lovely lullaby, Tooraloo-raloo.
Americans have united tonight to salute President Franklin Delano Roosevelt on his birthday. They've joined with him in the March of Dimes to help banish infantile paralysis from our land. Our program tonight came to you from New York City, Dime Box, Texas, Great Lakes, Illinois, Santa Ana, and Hollywood, California. All those appearing tonight contributed their services. The Hollywood Victory Committee cleared the Hollywood stars, the four networks, the Columbia Broadcasting System, the National Broadcasting Company, the Blue Network Company and the Mutual Broadcasting System joined their facilities, and radio's top writers contributed their time and talents to present this salute to the President of the United States on his birthday. Happy birthday, Mr. President.